You're listening to the voice of Free Planet X, where we believe that any sufficiently advanced falsehood is indistinguishable from truth. I think Arthur C. Clarke said that. This is Jared Axelrod. When I was young, my father would often use the expression, "I've slept since then," when he couldn't remember something I told him days before. It's not that he had memory problems, or even that I was imparting information of life-threatening importance at a six-year-old. It's just that he was a human being. We all forget stuff. "Hey, Dad, remember that book I told you about on Tuesday?" "Sorry, son, I've slept since then." It was a joke, but it was also a reminder. Time has passed. We've slept and woken up again. Things are different now. I was thinking about that when I visited Detective Candle in her office in Criterion, Michigan.
"Thanks for coming by. I'd offer you a drink, but it's better if I don't."
"So, tell me, what was it like when you woke up?"
"When I opened my eyes, I was a detective."
How did you know you were a detective?"
"I knew it because I woke up in a detective's office. And I could read the backwards Candle Investigations written on the window of the office door. There was a purse on the desk in front of me, and the wallet in the purse had a private investigator's license, a driver's license with an unflattering picture, an ATM card, and a dry cleaning stub, all bearing addresses for Criterion, Michigan, all with the name Tenebrae Candle. A thin stack of business cards, however, said my name was Tina Candle, which I admit I liked the sound of better. I was Tina Candle. This was my wallet, my purse, my office, my bank account, and presumably my three pantsuits that would be ready on Friday."
"And you were certain of this?"
"No, I wasn't. But all the details matched, and I found comfort in the correlation of the details. This collection of information gave me a very clear idea of the woman I presented to the world, if not the woman I felt like. I owned a PI's license. I needed to go pick up three pantsuits. These were facts."
"What other facts did you find?"
"Well, there was an audio recorder in the purse, and there was a loaded gun in the top drawer of the desk. A Ruger LC9 with 7 rounds left in the magazine and 1 in the chamber."
The magazine for the Ruger LC9, the preferred weapon of off-duty law enforcement, normally carries 10 rounds. Candle also found a key ring with a mess of keys. Each key had a piece of masking tape with a number written on it. On the left pocket of her jacket was a crumpled up piece of paper with a series of numbers and object names next to them. 1 home, 2 office, 3 safe deposit box, 4 station locker, number 74, and so on. In her right pocket was $1.47 in various coins, 3 subway tokens, a cell phone, and a fine felt-tip pin.
"I didn't recognize any of the numbers on the phone. On the desk was a notebook filled with notes and diagrams and torn pages. The notes must have made sense at one point, but it was gibberish. Already in our mouths? What does that even mean?"
"So you have all these things around you, notebooks, keys, dry cleaning stubs, a gun, and none of this was familiar."
"No, none of it. Well, that's not true. The Ruger, that felt familiar when I picked it up. Same with the pen. There's a certain emotional quality to objects, you know? The feeling you get when you pick up your favorite pen, that was there."
"But no memory of using the pen."
"Nope."
"What about the gun?"
"No."
"What else was there?"
"A flyer taped to the desk. It said, 'Just awoken, dial 411.
Here's what happens when you dial 411 in Criterion, Michigan.
Information. My name is Betty. How can I help you?
Yes, I was told to call you. I got one of your flyers.
Certainly, sir. I assume you've just woken up. If you could give me your driver's license number, I will be happy to help establish your identity. You'll be pleased to know you are not the first person afflicted.
Does this happen often? People waking up with no memory of who they are?
Everyone in this city loses their memory when they fall asleep. I myself had no idea who I was this morning.
Criterion is right on the Criterion River, not far from Detroit. The memory losses started as isolated incidents a few years ago. A few children, people with a history of mental illness. But now the whole city is afflicted. Every single one of them go to bed each night and wake up each morning with no idea who they are. That must make your job pretty difficult. Being a detective, I mean.
Thankfully, I have no memory of it being any easier.
Detective Candle does her job in much the same way I do mine. She carries an audio recorder everywhere.
Not everywhere I go, but when I'm on the job, I have to be secret about it. Most people, I'm certain you understand this, most people change when they know they're being recorded, so I don't tell them.
Is that legal? I mean, is that admissible in court?
I haven't had to use it in that way. It's just notes, you know? Reminders. It's odd. It's comforting to have these recordings, but it's also really strange. There's a disconnect to the person on this tape and myself. They're doing things I have no memory of.
That does not sound comforting.
It's like a guide. This life in Criterion. We can never know who we are, only who we were. And hope that this will inform us of who we will be.
Candle has a wiretap on her phone as well to record her calls.
So the phone rings and I answer it saying, Candle Investigations.
Candle Investigations.
Because written on the phone in permanent marker is the message, when the phone rings, answer and say, Candle Investigations.
Tina, it's Babineau.
Babineau.
I have a legal pad near the phone with a list of names followed by either their occupation or the word client and a number. Lieutenant Babineau was halfway down on page 3.
What can I do for you, Lieutenant Babineau?
I'm going to need you to come down to the station on Wainwright and 43rd. Have a woman here, Dorothy Dubois. She had your card in her pocket. She's been shot.
My God, is she all right?
No, she's not. She's dead. You should really come down here.
On my way. Where's the... What's the easiest way to get from here to there?
The easiest? Christ, Tina, did you just wake up?
Yeah.
You have a map in your office. Use that.
Right. A map. Sure. You said Wainwright and 43rd. Right. Okay. Just one question.
Hit me.
Where am I?
I don't have time for this, Candle. If you need help, dial 411 like the rest of us.
Candle does dial 411, gets herself oriented, and makes her way to the police station. This is her recording of what happened when she got there.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Lieutenant Babineau. My name is Tina Candle. Are you Lieutenant Babineau?
So my wife tells me. Who are you?
Tenebrae Candle. Tina, here's my license. You called me.
Ooh, that's a shit picture. You want to follow me, Tina? Sorry about giving you a hard time on the phone. Waking up is hard on everyone, but it's hardest on us, yeah? We need more than a day's memory to do our job. Here, let me get you some water. You look a little parched. I mean, you work in a factory. You lose, what, another shitty day in place you can't stand? When we close our eyes, we better be damn sure we've written everything down, whether it's important or not. Be because when you open those eyes, bang, your whole life is gone. Oh, good. Nobody's in interrogation, too. I like to use better chairs.
Am I being interrogated?
Of course not. I just wanted some quiet. This room is soundproofed. You could fire a gun in here and no one would know. Have a seat. So the vet, Dorothy Dubois, you know her?
She was a client, if that's what you mean. She said she had something for me.
I have something for you. It's a crime. It's evidence of a crime.
You should take it to the police.
I can't go to the police. I'm not sure what I should do. It's too late for all of that. It's too late for us.
We haven't even met.
It doesn't matter. It's in our mouths. It's already in our mouths.
She never told me what she had for me, just that she had it.
I may have that here.
Her phone?
Nah, this is mine. At least I think it is. I've walked out of the house with my wife's phone before. In any case, the Vic's phone was taken, but there's an MP3 file from her email. Dorothy, it turns out, was working with Senator Claghorn, typing up his memoirs. Here's what he sent her.
Now, Daddy, I've been looking over these journals here, and I hate to say it, but there's nothing here. It's all so boring. I'm in session, I'm out of session, I'm meeting with donors, blah, blah, blah. I don't think we need to be so tied to what happened. Who could say what actually happened? Sure, there's records, but who reads those? It's not like anyone's going to fact check this thing. I'm not saying we alter things too much, but I think we can spruce up a few things here and there. Take that vote on expanding the RICO laws. I wasn't there that day. Some fundraiser, it says here. But say I was. What's the harm, right? Bill didn't make it past the House anyway. Let's say I was there and I gave a speech right on the floor about, I don't know, law and order or some bullshit. You know, we live in dangerous times. Once you could walk down the street, greet the milkman by name, let your children play out in the yard. That was the America I remember. One of common values and shared decency. But now, who knows what sort of foul miscreant might be waiting in the bushes. We are surrounded on all sides by thugs and criminals who have no respect for the American way of life. This used to be a nation portrayed by Norman Rockwell, not Damien Hirst. We're not safe. These powers will allow us to regain some of what we've lost. They will allow our police to act without red tape, tying their hands behind their back, and in doing so, restore this great nation of ours to that glorious condition we all remember. Do it for our grandparents. Do it for our children. Do it for... Oh, shit. I got a little carried away there. Anyway, you get the idea, Daddy? You know, something like... How long has my answering machine been under all of this? Oh, my gosh. I'm gonna have to fire Consuela. Just one message?
Senator, this is Dr. Green. You asked me to look into the possibility that what was affecting Criterion was in the environment, and well, I found something. You remember when Criterion switched from purchasing Lake Huron water to treating water from Criterion River itself? It was part of your platform last term. I don't think we were prepared for how corrosive that water was. It's been eating away at the pipes and the chemicals and the river water and the lead and iron in the pipes. It's made this new compound. It's affecting the way the people in the city sleep. They're not sleeping, not properly. The brain doesn't go into the healing state it needs to compound memories, to heal itself. The whole city may close their eyes, but they're not asleep. It's in the pipes. It's in the water. It's in their mouths. It's in... Senator Claghorn, Andy, I ate meals in Criterion. My soda had ice in it. I'm afraid to fall asleep. I'm scared that if I do, please call me back soon. If I fall asleep, I don't know who I'll be when I wake up.
Shit, do you think she was killed for this?
You haven't touched your drink.
I'm not thirsty.
Her wallet was still in her purse. Her jewelry wasn't taken. Just her phone. Someone broke into her apartment and took her computer, too. Have you told anybody about this?
No, this is the first I've heard of it. Why?
I'm sure you'll figure it out. You always do.
Do I? How do you know that?
I don't. Just seemed like the right thing to say. You should really drink your water.
Babineau?
Drink the water, Tenebrae Candle.
What's in the water?
In that cup? Just some sleeping pills. We'll put you right out. And when you wake up, you won't remember this conversation. Or I can shoot you. Just important that all the facts are accounted for.
You don't drink the water. You still have your memories.
It's hard enough to do this job with a full set of memories. There's people higher ups who understand that. They took care of us. It's only supposed to be a temporary thing. A cautionary measure. Just in case. Then months went by. You don't know how long this has been going on. That's a blessing in our way. I have no idea what a gift it is to forget. So drink up, sleep, and be reborn.
Can I ask one question? This probably isn't as weird to hear as it is to say. You called me Tina when you phoned. Are we friends?
I honestly can't say. We work together. But the Tina Candle in front of me now is not the same one I met years ago. You're not even the same as the Tina Candle that talked to me last week. In a way, the Tina I know died when you woke up a blank slate. That doesn't matter. All that matters is the facts. And the fact is, your name was in my phone. And that's gotta mean something. Unless I grabbed my wife's phone by mistake.
So then what happened?
I have no idea. That's where the recording ends.
What? You don't seem to have any bullet holes on you, so I'm assuming you shot first. How did you manage to shoot a police detective in a police station filled with police officers and get away?
I don't know. I've slept since then. I don't even know if this is real. It's just a recording. It could be a bunch of actors pretending all of this, a ruse for my benefit.
What would be the point of that?
You tell me.
The voice of Free Planet X is Rick.
Jared? I just got a message from management. GPR is canceling the voice of Free Planet X due to, and, these are their words, not mine, due to the host's familiarity and connection to the known intergalactic felon, Joel Axelrod. Is he related to you?
Joel? I mean, he's my brother, and he's a bit of a bullshit artist, but intergalactic felon? No, there's got to be some mistake. Let me see that message. For the safety of our staff, Galactic Public Radio is hereby severing any and all connections until the red warrant issued by Empress Ruby Resplenda, Monarch of the Scarlet Sector, is completed. All right, this has got to be some mistake. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this. Thal, just roll the credits as normal. Yeah, just start from the beginning. The voice of Free Planet X is written and produced by Jared Axelrod. This episode featured music by bensound.com. The voice of Free Planet X theme is by Russell Collins. This episode could not have existed without the performances of
Hillary Ryan,
PJ Schneider,
Len Webb,
J.R. Blackwell,
Fred Maskey,
Jen Martin,
Whitney Strix Beltran,
and the support of listeners like you. You can support the voice of Free Planet X at patreon.com/axelrod. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes. We're not canceled. I'm gonna make sure that we're not canceled. So go ahead and leave a review. It'll be fine. You can subscribe to the Voice of Free Planet X newsletter, Free Planet Extra, at tinyletter.com/planetx, where I'll post any updates on this frustrating circumstance. There's a bonus episode in there that you get just for signing up. Up until this point, the Voice of Free Planet X was distributed by Galactic Public Radio, but if Thal is telling me we can't even use their audio sting at this point, I'm gonna find out what's going on. Our internet commander is Katie West, and we're gonna be back on the air. Voice of Free Planet X will return July 15th with The Court of the Crimson Queen.